Fanning. Weekends on 2FM.
Come on yourself, Anton. How's it going this Sunday afternoon?
It's going very well. There is much that we have to discuss.
Oh, great. Let's discuss it.
Well, there's one story which
I'm glad
to
see this as a discussion.
It's just the apogee of all things.
Oh.
But I'm not sure I want to open with it. There's also a lot of food-related stuff. What's your feeling on this?
Well, food. I'm not the world's number one food person. If I don't have food for a few days, I don't think about it much. Anyway, let's not talk about that.
Well, how about competitive food? The world.
Competitive food?
The world.
Like man versus food. How many
similar
hamburgers?
But
can
even
eat?
Better, yeah. The World Black Pudding Throwing Championships are on in Ramsbottom.
Well, what attracted you to this story was the first bit, but really the second bit because
the millionaire Paul Daniels.
Because it's Ramsbottom. Okay. The
World Black Pudding Championships have returned to Ramsbottom after
COVID got in the way.
Exactly, a 2-year absence. And thankfully, according to reports, none of the competitors have lost any of their enthusiasm for flinging black puddings at Yorkshire puddings.
Where's Ramsbottom? Where's in England, I presume, is it?
It is.
Right, okay, fair enough.
Thank you for not asking me for any greater specificity than that. Let us leave it at the sceptre dial and move on from this point.
And you're not going to go back in history 600 years to Lancaster and York and all that kind of thing?
Well, there's actually elements of that. This is where this comes from, because it links with the War of the Roses. I don't quite understand how Yorkshire puddings and black puddings are to do with the War of the Roses, but apparently there was some...
I saw it. Michael Douglas and Kathleen Turner.
Apparently there was some battle that ended in all of them expending all of their ammunition, at which point they...
They only had food left.
So they say.
Rocks and stuff.
Exactly. I was reading that going, no. Now, there's never a point where, you go to your shoes, you take off your little round hat. There's a lot of stuff to lob nearby children before you get to black pudding. But apparently they lobbed food at each other. One side, according to reports, lobbed Yorkshire puddings and the other side lobbed black puddings. Now, what damage could you possibly do to somebody with a Yorkshire pudding?
Make them eat it.
Exactly. That's about all you've got.
Yeah.
A black pudding at sufficient velocity, if it has enough girth, maybe you might get blunt force trauma. But nobody is doing any harm with the Yorkshire pudding. So
pudding is in that cow's blood or pig's blood? Pig's blood, right.
It's pig's blood and I think, is it oats and pork fat all stuffed into an intestine?
It sounds awful.
Yeah, but it tastes good.
Once a month I might have it, yeah.
Oh, yeah, a lot of you said for a bit of black pudding day. Yeah, right. So what they have to do is competitors have to dislodge giant Yorkshire pudding, so it's not your normal muffin-sized Yorkshire pud, from a 20-foot-high plinth by throwing black puddings at them.
Right, and do they dislodge? Does dislodgement take place?
Dislodgement does occur, but it is apparently a trickier endeavour than one might think at first glance, because you've got to figure 20-foot-high. Like 20-foot-high is about the size, it's about the height of the eaves of a normal terraced house.
The eaves.
Now, if I was to put
like the second window,
if I was to place a Yorkshire pudding on the gutter of a terraced house in the burbs, do you think you could have a black pudding?
No,
exactly
not. Yeah. Certainly not if I'm on a plinth.
Indeed, everything is more difficult on a plinth. But in this instance, people successfully do it. For the princely sum of £1, you can enter endeavour.
A nominal fee.
Oh, well, I think the fee was originally set in 1984 and doesn't seem to have moved with inflation. So it wasn't necessarily nominal back in the 80s. But now you can...
So if you want to do it next year, you can crowdfund from now and you'll make it up to one.
Correct. There's more food.
Yeah, let's hear it.
Do you ever miss the fact that you can't take advice from your toilet?
Do I ever miss the fact that I can't take advice?
That's
implying that I once got advice from my toilet.
Would you like to get advice from your toilet? Think about the intimacy of that relationship.
If the toilet suddenly said, here's the lotto numbers for next Saturday, and it was correct, yes.
But if the toilet said to you in a sort of a 2001 Space Odyssey way, Dave.
Hal.
Dave, I think you should be eating an avocado salad, Dave.
Oh, because it can see that you maybe could do with an avocado. This is not going where I wanted to go.
I was surprised at how enthusiastic you remained for so long on this story. This is toilet technology being developed all the way around the world, specifically by a man in this instance by the name of Joshua Kuhn. And Joshua Kuhn is in the University of Wisconsin-Madison, and he's doing a study into toilets that would analyze the molecules in your urine.
All right, okay.
And predicated on what they discover in the molecules in your urine, they would say, Dave, you need an avocado salad.
We're only talking urine here, are we?
I believe so. I was slightly surprised that because you know how I enjoy a good story about the gut microbiome.
I do, yeah.
Yeah.
And the old stool-based biomarkers.
The very thing. The what was it? The human breast milk oligosaccharides, which we have talked of so often on this show. It is a fascinating topic, the gut microbiome, you must admit. But in this instance, I think it is to do with urine markers where they can look and they can say your fat levels, whether you're too heavy, whether your diet is correct. One of the things that I found interesting, I don't know if this floated your boat the same way it did mine. They've been talking about the COVID presence in wastewater in Ireland. Do you think that's amazing? That they look at all of our water coming out of all of our toilets and go, a lot of COVID in there.
Well, the whole kind of microbiome gut kind of health thing, it's a big yoke these days.
It's huge. And like links to depression significantly.
Oh, really? Like, would you be a smart toilet enthusiast then?
I think if there was a smart toilet, I would
like,
want...
Like, would your anal print... Sorry, excuse me. Would it be like...
Dave, no. You're taking our relationship to a whole new level.
Would it be like a fingerprint? Is it individual to people's...
I have to say that I don't have enough direct experience of... a focus group to be able to judge. But I believe, so. I mean, your handprints are unique, just like your fingerprints are. So I assume, yes. Well, I know that your gut microbiome is entirely individual.
Point I'm making. I mean, like, so in other words, basically, if you have an uncomfortable gastric episode, are you telling me that this could become a very important medical product in your house?
I am. That is exactly what I'm saying. And and it, not only that, it has been invested in by the US big toilet brand Kohler. You know the way the Europeans are partial to an old Armitage Shanks?
Right, indeed, yeah.
Well, for the American, that's Kohler.
All right.
Kohler is everywhere. They're the biggest selling producer of plumbing equipment in America. And they have unveiled what they call their NUMI intelligent toilet.
NUMI.
NUMI, their NUMI intelligent toilet.
And does this kind of analyze samples and send the data to your app?
It sends it directly to your app. There's another one. Panasonic in 2018 launched a smart toilet in China. And they literally have gotten to the point where the toilet will be able to do that thing of telling you, look, we need to talk. Your diet is far too heavy in red meat and you need to lose about 3 or 4 pounds.
But could you be arrested and good cops say, here, we want to... check out your anal print.
I've been tracked by your toilet. Toilet shopped you.
And you could be arrested and you have to give a sample. I mean, also, like, you know, parents could find out if there's... You know,
totally, the toilet could... Toilet. Yeah, exactly.
My son has just been using this toilet. Is he on drugs? Yeah,
absolutely. Kind of monitor the health of the entire family. How we scoff, Dave, but this is the future. The NUMI intelligent toilet, that's where we're all going to end up.
So are we talking here about smart homes or surveillance homes?
We're talking the Internet of Things.
Oh, the Internet of Things. I knew we were coming around to that.
It always comes back to the Internet of Things. Right. On the subject of being overweight, a Portage County pig has had to have surgery to remove excess skin after significant weight loss.
They made a pig skinnier.
Yes.
Because it's a pet pig.
A pet pig.
Have you seen the movie Pig?
I've seen both Pig and Pig in the City. No, Babe. What am I thinking? What's Pig?
That's Babe. By the way, that's really funny you should say that. That's Babe. And Babe in the City, or Pig in the City. That second movie was absolutely brilliant. And it shocked people so much. It was a bit too heavy for kids. It's one of the great sequels. It's better than The Godfather too.
Is that the fella who did Fury Road? George Miller.
George Miller, yeah.
I find it very strange that the man who made Mad Max also
it's
made
fantastic,
Babe Pig in the City.
I know, Babe Pig in the City, check it out. It is tough, and he really is. And the old bulldog that he saves from drowning and falling off the thing, he looks after him. It's a very good movie. Anyway,
okay,
let's get back to this here. No,
what's
I said
Pig.
Have you seen Pig? No.
This rings a bell. This
it's
is
at the
something
moment.
About
it's a new
cannibalism
movie.
Or one of these.
No,
is it?
It's a new movie with Nicolas Cage. You can say, oh, then I don't
oh,
know.
Oh, no, not
Nicolas. No, stop, Cage. Stop. Hold on. 4 out of every 5 movies of Nicolas Cage the last bunch of years. Yeah, I agree. But 1 out of every 5, he does it now and again. And this is very good. It's about a guy who has a pig who gets truffles for him and all that kind of thing. But actually, the pig doesn't get the truffles at all. He says it's the trees. Anyway, the pig is a very famous pig. And the pig gets kidnapped. So he goes after the pig. And your man says, listen, what do you want him for then if you get truffles? Because I love him. It's actually very good.
Do you know the problem with using pigs instead of dogs to get truffles?
I don't know anything about that at all. So
there's 2 things you can use if you want to get a truffle. Yeah, because truffles are almost impossible to farm.
This is what the movie's about.
Like domesticating a zebra.
Right.
Almost impossible.
Last week,
even though it,
on
yeah,
the program,
exact same
we have.
Thing. So you can grow a mushroom at home, but you can't grow a truffle. If you want to get a truffle, you either use a dog, which has very good noses, or you use a pig, which likewise have very good noses. If you use the dog, what's the great advantage when it comes to truffles between dogs and pigs, Dave?
The dog will, I don't know. I've no idea.
Won't eat the truffle?
That's what I was just going to say.
You should have. Yeah, I could see it in your eyes. Yeah, you
knew. Because I wasn't sure if the pigs ate the truffle.
So I believe they do. Winnie, the pot-bellied pig, has lost.
Winnie's got a name, Winnie, or she. Yeah.
She has lost 200 pounds. And therefore has had to have surgery to have the excess skin removed.
And is Winnie happy now?
Well, Winnie seems fine. Right. Winnie is as happy as a pig in... Here's a question. Yeah. This is a philosophical one now that I think about it. If you had a pet pig that had surgery to have the skin removed, would you eat it?
The skin?
Yeah. That's what poor cracklings are.
I know. It's just the way you say it now. I don't want to know.
Let's imagine you had a pig.
I don't want to go to a sausage factory. I might eat one.
But let's imagine you had a pig that had a traumatic injury and that required an amputation.
Okay, so I'm trying to imagine that. Okay, give me a second.
So the pig is otherwise healthy and the limb is healthy. Would you eat the leg of a still alive pig?
Are you asking me would I eat it or should one eat it?
Oh no, let's forgive it. To hell with morality, Dave. I'm just asking if I said, do you see this pig which has recently recovered from a car accident? I have some of its leg done as pulled pork. Would you eat it?
Well, if I was on that boat like in Monty Python, I'd rather have Hastings' leg. It'd be rather tasty. Anyway, I don't know.
Are you familiar with Anne U. Melmahe?
Anne U. Melmahe. I am not.
Anne U. Melmahe was the brain in the Steve Martin classic, The Man with Two Brains.
The Man with Two Brains, yeah.
Do you remember? Dr. Half Hour?
Yeah, I wouldn't remember all that, but go on, yeah.
Do you remember the poem? Oh, pointy birds, oh, pointy, pointy, anoint my wings, anointy, anointy. So, Anna Melmahe was the woman who lived in the jar in the ridiculous Hollywood movie about the man with two brains who was attempting to exchange brains from one thing to another.
Yeah.
A relationship between two people in Russia has broken down.
Yeah.
And the end result is that the woman in the relationship, to get back at the husband, has stolen a number of his brains.
He's a brain person. I mean, he's a person.
He's a brain person.
He puts them in ice.
He does.
Does he? All right. So there is such a thing, like cryogenic.
The very thing. Right. He not only does he put brains in not ice in this instance, because the difficulty. Do you know what the problem is with ice with an old brain?
Well, I thought that's the whole thing. I thought that's what it actually means. Cryogenic means to put it in ice, doesn't it?
It means to freeze it.
To freeze it.
Yeah, you see, if you use ice, what happens is you form very large crystals. If you freeze something at a slow pace, the crystals grow very large and the crystal structure pierces through the cell, causing the cell to deflate and it goes spongy, which is why if you freeze, for instance, things like a chicken breast, it can often come out a bit squishy because it breaks all of the cell structures within the chicken breast.
Okay.
Therefore, what you have to do is blast chill the hur. So if when you die, Dave, you want your brain kept for posterity.
Make sure it's blast trilled.
That's the first rule. Make sure it's indeed. And secondly, make sure that Valeria Udalova cannot get near your brain. She nicked, allegedly, a load of brains from giant Dewar flasks containing both frozen bodies, heads, and, as the reports indicate, some detached human brains and loaded them on trucks.
Wow.
All of these people. Are you still a person if you're just a brain?
I don't know. I mean, have you ever seen Alien or Avatar or Interstellar or all these? A lot of those kind of...
Have you ever read any of Roald Dahl's adult stuff?
No.
It's very strange. He has one story which I think is called William and Mary, where a man ends up being a brain and an eye entirely in his wife's care.
Yeah. And the worst thing about it, he's deaf and he's blind.
No, he's not blind. He can see. And the wife has long resented him. And the end of the story is just the eye above the top of the jar. And she takes a long drag out of her cigarette and blows the smoke into the eye.
Wow.
And
that's Roald Dahl. That sounds like Tales of the Unexpected or something.
The very man.
Yeah.
So
I just always love the music of that.
Each one of these people, when they were, paid significant money to get cryogenically frozen. Guess how much?
First of all, is it quackery? I mean, does it work? I mean, like, is it pseudoscience?
Well, it's one of those things.
I know you
where
can say, like, in theory, yes, but, like, I mean, are you telling me that I could do this now if I had a certain amount of money and in 200 years' time I could be back?
You will remember the movie The Prestige.
I will. I mean, I do. That was a great movie.
Fabulous.
I absolutely loved it.
Yeah. So there's three phases in the opening of The Prestige. They explain that every magic trick has three phases. There is the pledge, which is the basic understanding of what the trick is going to be. Yeah, Hugh Jackman and Christopher Christian Bale.
Yeah.
So there's the pledge. Then there's the turn where you make the thing disappear.
Yeah.
And the thing that makes it all come together is the prestige.
Yeah.
Because the only thing that makes the trick significant is that you bring it back.
Yeah.
In the case of cryogenics, they have absolutely proven the pledge and the turn. I can take your brain out and freeze it.
Great. You can't give me number three.
No.
To hell with that.
But the promise is that number three will come at some stage.
I have no idea. Like, people with loads of money, I'd say $100,000.
Oh, no, cheap at the price by comparison. Right. We'll do the whole of you for 26K and we'll do just your brain for 11. And I think the smart money is going on. They're looking at the basic and they're saying, well, look, if they're going to be able to defrost my brain, they're probably going to be able to find something to stick it in. So what's the point in wasting another, what, 15 grand on keeping the L body round when I could just go for brain storage? Little did all of these people know.
They'd get stolen.
They would get stolen, bundled into trucks.
Was my brain insured?
Well, who do you pay the insurance to? You're gone. Exactly, you no longer exist as an entity.
Yeah, it doesn't work. Although, should I admit that I was born in the year 1400? See? There I am.
Never
I'm
saw
here.
That coming. The 60-year-old vice president of a tiny South American nation has picked himself to play for the professional soccer team that he owns in an elite match.
Professional soccer team?
Yep.
And he is 6-0, is that what?
He is 6-0, yes he is.
And did he play well?
Well, the way that this is being portrayed by those covering it is that this was a disgrace and that he used his position of influence and wealth to get himself on.
He owns the team.
So
yeah.
Bear with me, this is in Suriname. You know Suriname.
Yeah, I do.
Just left of Goa.
No, that's one of the Guianas, or it used to be. There's one on the other side. Yeah, it used to be. It was Dutch Guiana, wasn't it?
I was not aware.
Yeah, three in a row altogether.
Three in a row Guianas?
Yeah.
Are they all Dutch, or was one of them French?
No, this one's Dutch. I don't know about the
there
other
There was a French Guiana,
this is the middle
there?
One, yeah.
Right, so he's in the middle Guiana. Are you saying Suriname is the middle Guiana?
Yeah.
Right, he's in the middle Guiana. And they were, he picked himself to play for Inter Moengetope, I think is how you pronounce it. I don't think it's how you pronounce it, but nobody's going to correct me. So they were playing in against Olympia in the CONCACAF League. And he gave himself not only a position on the team, but he gave himself the captain's armband.
All right. Right? Okay.
So thankfully, he subbed himself off after 54 minutes. Everybody is reporting.
I presume they were losing.
3-0 down. Oh. Yes. So here's the bit. 54 minutes in, 3-0 down, he leaves. End score when the match finished?
They won 10-3?
No, they lost 6-0.
Oh.
Which by my measure, given the time that he was on the pitch versus the time that he wasn't.
He did better.
Exactly.
That's not how it works.
That's how it works.
No,
he significantly improved their performance, which shows there is still life left in all of us.
And is he the president of Suriname? Sorry, he's the owner of the football team in Suriname.
He's the owner of the football team in Suriname. He's also the owner of the stadium in which the football team in Suriname plays. He was the captain of the football team that he owns in the stadium named after him. And according to reports, after the match, footage then appeared to show him entering the opposition dressing room and handing out wads of cash to the opposing players, which may explain why he did relatively well while he was on the pitch.
Yeah, he didn't score or anything. He was centre forward or whatever it was.
He was 60 years of age, Dave.
Okay, all right, okay. Like, he couldn't have made the ball bounce off him.
Do you know what would have fixed him up properly? If he had a toilet that told him what he should have eaten, Hooray! He would have been right on the edge.
Okay, so he is a smart toilet enthusiast. And from that note,
Newly.
Anton, good man. Thank
Dave.
You.
Dave Fanning, weekends on 2FM.